KIRO, Seattle. It's 10 o'clock.
CBS News. There's a serious split within OPEC over prices, but foreign oil will be more expensive nonetheless. I'm Jerry Landay reporting on the CBS Radio Network. Meeting in the Persian Gulf oil sheikdom of Qatar, 11 OPEC nations will reportedly raise prices 10% next month and another 5% 6 months after that. Two other OPEC members, Saudi Arabia and the Arab oil sheikdoms, will hold the price of their oil to 5%, threatening to use their cheaper oil to bring the other 11 into line. Between them, Saudi Arabia and the oil sheikdoms control a third of OPEC's production. At the consumer level, the new price increases by OPEC will cost Americans an extra $2 billion. More news after this.
He touched me. He put his hand near mine and then he touched me.
Touch her with Chantilly and suddenly nothing is the same.
When he touched me.
Chantilly by Who Be Gone.
He touched me. He touched me. And suddenly,
Christmas, touch her with Chantilly. Perfume, spray mist, dusting powder. By Ubigon, $5 to $30.
Three more names now added to the roster of the Carter administration. At a news conference in Plains, Georgia, Mr. Carter officially designated Congressman Andrew Young of Atlanta to be permanent U.S. representative to the United Nations. Young was originally portrayed as reluctant to give up his House seat for the U.N. job. A reporter asked Young about that at Plains Airport, specifically how Mr. Carter changed his mind.
He didn't say or do anything. I think it was more my trip to Africa and the people from so many different countries that came by my office in the last month or so. They were all hoping for so much from this administration, and I realized that it's going to be a difficult task, and I guess I just decided I'm crazy enough to try it.
Young, the first black to hold down the U.N. job. Mr. Carter also designated economist Charles Schultz of Washington to be chairman of the Council of Economic Advisers. Schultz was budget director in the Johnson administration. Mr. Carter also designated Zbigniew Brzezinski of Columbia University's Institute of International Change to be principal national security advisor. In Salt Lake City, Utah, another attempt by convicted murderer Gilmore to take his own life and another attempt by doctors to save him for execution 1 month from now. KSL reporter Clint Warby has late details.
Jerry Mark Gilmore remains in critical but stable condition, but doctors at the University Medical Center in Salt Lake City continue to worry about aspiration pneumonia that has developed. Hospital spokesman John Cahey says Gilmore's weakened condition due to his hunger strike is cause for alarm. While Gilmore recovers, prison officials and the Salt Lake County Sheriff's Office are investigating how Gilmore got the tablets of phenobarbital. The second suicide attempt came exactly 1 month after he tried to take his own life the first time, and one day after a Utah judge turned on his request to face a firing squad next Monday. Gilmore's execution, if he survives, is scheduled for January 17th. Clint Warby for CBS News, Salt Lake City.
The Canadian federal government has now joined the United States in moving to suspend temporarily the swine flu immunization program. The American suspension is based on a possible link between the flu vaccine and a rare type of temporary paralysis called Guillain-Barré syndrome or French polio. At least 94 cases have been reported in the United States. Half of the victims had received swine flu inoculations. Four of the 94 died. Government health officials say the immunization program will resume if it's found that the French polio was transmitted by contagion, not by the vaccine. Now this.
The French call it an apéritif. In America, it's the appetizer you drink. Either way, Dubonnet goes before.
Before, that's the time to say I'll have a glass of Dubonnet. Before a meal by day or night, Dubonnet is always right. Before, yeah, before. It's the time before for Dubonnet.
Dubonnet. It all started in France, of course. And whether you call it an apéritif or an appetizer, the proper time to enjoy its distinctive taste is before. Before lunch, before dinner at cocktail time, before whatever you've got cooking. It's a wine that's right for your appetite. Dubonnet before. Made to make what comes after that much better.
Before, yeah, before. It's the time before for Dubonnet.
A product of USA, Dubonnet Company, New York, New York.
The president-elect of the European Common Market said Thursday night that the rise of West Germany as the lone economic giant of Western Europe is creating a power imbalance within the economic community. Roy Jenkins of Great Britain warning the effect of West German dominance might be that of an earth tremor on a half-built house. I'm Jerry Landay, CBS News.
Cairo News Time, 10:06.
Now at Overlake Television and Appliance, you can buy a Toshiba Color Television for only $299. Every time this 13-inch diagonal measured Toshiba Color TV is sold at this price, they sell out, so you better hurry. This Toshiba Solid State Color Television set has automatic color, automatic fine-tuning, and black stripe picture tube for sharp, bright picture, plus the best warranty in the industry. Toshiba Color Television, just $299 at Overlake Television and Appliance, across from Bellevue Square, next to Sturtevant's.
I'm Fred London for Haight Anderson, your total discount dealer. A lot of people want a new Pontiac, Oldsmobile, or Buick, but they think they can't afford one. Well, not anymore. For the first 100 people who come into Discount Land, our six credit counselors, in cooperation with GMAC, will tailor a finance program to fit your budget. Remember, this is only good for the first 100 people. So hurry today to the Mukilteo Ferry Turnoff on I-5 North, get off at Evergreen, and go one block north to Discount Land.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... Welcome. I'm E.G. Marshall, who shares with you an interest which few can deny in strange tales of the macabre, stories that arise from suppressed motives and odd personal experiences. You've heard, no doubt, of ESP, extrasensory perception. Do you believe that such a gift exists? The power to perceive the thoughts of another? Believe me, it does. In some persons, it has been developed to a high degree, and there is scientific evidence to prove such a contention.
Oh, Miss Tallis.
What's happened, John? Who's been hurt?
It's your mother, sir.
What? What happened? What's happened to my mother?
I don't know. I heard this thud, and then some women shrieking, and there was a Mrs. Robershaw on the side of the wall, smashed, dead.
Merciful Lord.
Yes, sir. She jumped from her terrace and she's a dead. I'm awful sorry.
Our mystery drama, The Doctor's Evidence, was written especially for Mystery Theater by Roy Windsor and stars Francis Sternhagen and Tony Roberts. It is sponsored in part by the Greyhound Ameripass and True Value Hardware Stores. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
The standard engine is a V8. Standard tires, steel-belted radials. There are front and rear stabilizer bars, special springs and shock valving, fast ratio power steering, and a rally steering wheel. What makes all this interesting is that it belongs to a full-size six-passenger Buick, the 1977 LeSabre Sport Coupe. You'll have to drive it to believe it.
Here in my hand is a little capsule. It's Contact. It contains enough cold medicine to help relieve cold symptoms caused by every known virus. Think about that the next time you're sick. Sneezing, dripping, all clogged up. Then let us help you with real medicine, like Contact. We're number one in the whole world.
Give your cold to Contact. Real medicine for real cold.
Take only as direct.
He is two good friends. Tonight is kinda special, the beer will pour. Must say something more somehow. So tonight, tonight, let it be low and proud.
Some beers have been around 100 years. That's endurance. Lowenbrau has been around almost 600 years. That's greatness.
It's been so long. I'm so glad to see you. We'll pour a special beer. Says I'm glad you're here right now. So tonight, tonight, let it be Lowenbrau.
When you want the taste of a truly great beer, there's really only one. Tonight, let it be Lowenbrau.
Let it be Lowenbrau.
Available in Light Special and Dark Special, Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Great.
One definition of extrasensory perception is the perception of another person's thoughts and actions not received by the senses. At one time or another, most of us have had the experience of knowing what another person was thinking. A strange experience, the kind which psychical research has been studying at least since 1882, when the Society for Psychical Research was founded. Share with me this strange story of Ellen Robertshaw, who had this supernormal faculty. After an automobile accident, it seemed to increase, as Ken, her husband, explains to his secretary, Kay.
Ellen had the gift, or whatever you want to call it.
It's ghastly. Falling to her death. Can you imagine what thoughts went through that poor woman's head? Could she have anticipated her death?
I have no idea, Kay.
No, no, that would be magic. Do you believe in ESP, clairvoyance?
Well, they're not the same things. ESP is telepathy. I'm told it's a scientific fact.
But you do believe in telepathy and that Ellen had the faculty?
I really don't know.
You surprise me.
How so?
You're a hard-headed, practical businessman. This occult bit seems out of character for
you. Oh, now it's occult. No, don't assume I believe in telepathy. I'm still a skeptic. All the same, Ellen surprised me several times in the past few years by seeming to read my thoughts.
That could have been uncomfortable.
Well, sometimes, yes, but... that's all behind us now.
So it is. When's the funeral?
Well, I haven't thought about it, and I'll have to talk over the arrangements with her son.
Bruce, is that right?
Yes, he's at the hospital now.
He is? I thought he lived in Philadelphia.
Oh, he does, but he's here. He arrived at the building just after Ellen fell. Before me.
Should I attend the services?
I don't think so, Kay. Ellen suspected you and me. She probably said so to her son.
I see.
Okay. I can't help loving you.
That's nice to hear. All the same, you could have divorced Ellen. I never liked our furtive relationship. I felt so hypocritical. Marked the other woman.
Well, you won't be any longer. We'll be married, Kay. Say, in 6 months. It's what I've always wanted.
6 months.
Well, why do you say it that way?
It's hard to explain. It's almost as if we'd been waiting for your wife to die. Say she hadn't, Ken. Then what would have happened? How long could I have continued to be your office wife?
Darling, I would have divorced Ellen.
But you didn't.
Well, believe me, I'm sorry she died a violent death, but it's a fact. I'm free now. So are you.
I wonder.
What's the matter with you, Kay?
Well, you say she was telepathic. Could she have anticipated her own death?
Oh, how the devil would I know? You mean, did she intimate to me that she was going to die? Of course not. When I left for work this morning, she seemed to be all right. Still weak, but alert. Stretched out on the living room couch. What is all this, Kay?
Why is her son, Bruce, what's his last name?
Ellis, Bruce Ellis. He's a lawyer in Philadelphia. What about him?
Why did he appear in New York just after his mother fell to her death?
Because he was in the city, and naturally he'd come to say hello to us. Well, to her, he never liked or approved of me.
Could Ellen have transferred her thoughts to him?
What if she did? Are you suggesting that he arrived here because she indicated she was going to die?
Isn't that possible?
Oh, I don't know. And anyway, so what? Maybe she knew when and how she was going to die.
But she didn't say anything to you.
Not a word. Why?
Curiosity, that's all. For some reason, her death haunts me. More coffee, Ken?
No, thanks. I have to get home.
You're depressed.
Of course I am. You and your mumbo-jumbo about telepathy.
How do you know she had the faculty, if that's what you call it?
I still don't know, but her doctor, a dry old stiff named Max Croft, was pretty convincing. That was about 2 months ago. I was visiting Ellen in the hospital after work, and Dr. Croft was there with her.
Ken, how kind of you to come by.
Well, of course I'd come by, my dear. Haven't I every night since they brought you in here? Hello, Dr. Croft.
Good evening, Mr. Robertshaw. Ellen's made very good progress. No after effects from the concussion, and I'll have the cast off her arm in a month.
Oh, that's good news. No complications?
Well, only slight psychic trauma, but that'll fade away.
I had a premonition about the accident. I knew it was going to happen. When it did, I even knew who ran into my car.
Oh, I see. So did the police. They found the two cars smashed up.
I mean before that.
Isn't that ESP?
No, it's clairvoyance. Not the same thing at all.
Well, whatever you say. I don't understand either one or happen to believe in them.
What about my 2-year-old grandson? I told you about that, Max. Was I correct?
Well, it would seem so, Ellen. I know that you were worried about the little boy.
More than worried. Frightened. I knew he had more than a common cold. He had a dangerous virus.
How in heaven's name could you know that, Ellen?
I don't know. But ever since being hospitalized, I seem to have acquired whatever you want to call it.
Telepathy is the name of the faculty.
You believe in that stuff, Dr. Croft?
Oh, without question.
And you know what happened, Ken.
Mm-hmm. Your son challenged the doctor, and sure enough, the little boy did have a dangerous virus. And you claim that you put that thought in your son's head, huh?
I think so.
That's fantasy. The doctor spotted the virus.
Not at first. The sickness was diagnosed as a common cold.
Well, have it your own way. I'm glad you're feeling good, dear. It's lonely home without you. Well, I'll say goodnight.
Give my regards to Kay.
Yes, I'll do that. Good night, Doctor.
I'll be leaving too, Ellen. Have a good rest. I'll be by in the morning.
Thank you. And Ken, ask Kay to stop by some afternoon. I'd like to see her.
You got a moment, Dr. Cross?
Well, of course.
Has Ellen's mind been affected?
Well, no, indeed.
But that junk about ESP, clairvoyance, that doesn't sound rational to me. Were you kidding her, or do you believe in such things? Second sight, that kind of thing?
Well, you've asked me a very involved question. Those terms are not interchangeable. We assign all manifestations of supernormal knowledge derived from another person's mind to telepathy. Your wife appears to have had such a manifestation from her son, Bruce. He was concerned about his little boy. His mother, your wife, shared that concern and telephoned him. Then he harried the pediatrician.
You can derive knowledge from another person's mind?
Well, some persons can. I myself, for example, cannot. The evidence for supernormal cognition is very extensive, and it's impressive. Ellen seems always to have had the faculty, however slight. The accident seems to have increased her power.
And clairvoyance, it's not the same thing, eh?
No. A clairvoyant does not derive supernormal knowledge from the mind of another. He just derives it, and that's all. Haven't you ever sat in a room with another person and discovered that both of you were thinking about the same thing?
I'm afraid I'll have to pass, Doctor. Well, I've taken up your time.
Oh, perfectly all right. Psychical research is an intriguing subject. Your wife does have the telepathic faculty, and I suspect she also has an ability with clairvoyance. May I ask a question?
Certainly.
But I'm curious to know what your wife meant when she said, "Give my regards to Kay."
My secretary, Kay Tyler. I'm meeting her for dinner at 6:30.
Ellen knew that?
I suppose I mentioned it to her when I spoke with her this afternoon.
I see. Well, enjoy yourself. Good night, Mr. Robertshaw.
What you've just told me is pretty spooky stuff, Ken.
I don't think so. Something happened to Ellen. Ever since she got home from the hospital, she's talked weirdly.
Did you tell her that you were having dinner with me?
Oh, I must have.
But you don't know. And now this, dead from a fall from the 8th floor. And it was only a week ago I called on her. Remember how uncomfortable the visit became?
Yes, vividly.
Kay, how nice to see you.
Ken's told me how quickly you were recovering, but I had to see for myself.
Dr. Croft says I'm almost completely well.
Oh, see, the cast is off her arm.
Will you have some tea and toast or something stronger?
Oh, no, thank you. I just stopped by to pay my respects. I have a date, so I have to go home and change, but thank you.
A date? I'm glad to hear that. You're such a lovely-looking young woman and so bright. I'm surprised some man hasn't insisted that you marry him.
I enjoy my freedom and my independence.
Those are precious rights. But they don't have to be given up in marriage, and marriage does offer many benefits.
Darling, I wish you wouldn't urge Kay to get married. She's my secretary. I don't know what I'd do if she left me.
I know that, Ken. But you're being selfish. Please stop by whenever you're in the neighborhood. Ken often talks about you. If I didn't know him, I think I might be jealous.
I'd better be running along, Mrs. Robertshaw. Take care of yourself.
See her to the door, darling.
Yes, of course. It was good of you to stop by, Kay.
Never again, Ken. She's got claws. Oh, good night, Ken.
That was nice of her, wasn't it, Ellen?
Very. I hope you won't mislead her, Ken.
Pardon me?
Mislead her. At the moment, she's infatuated with her boss, you.
Oh? I'm not aware of it.
Oh, Ken, how transparent you are. She loves you, and you're in love with her. It's the oldest story in the world. You're going through the middle-age death dance. If you give yourself half a chance, you'll recover.
What is this, more telepathy?
Oh, I don't need telepathy to know what's going on. Heavens, it's as plain as the blush on your cheek. Just don't hurt her, Ken. She really is a fine young woman.
I wouldn't think of hurting her.
You might. In fact, I think that you will.
Is that intuition or more of that telepathic twaddle?
A little of both. My instinct tells me that you might break her heart. My telepathic faculty warns me that you will.
And what else do you foresee?
You know, Ken. And I'm very sorry for the three of us.
What must it be like to live with someone who has a telepathic faculty? From what I've read, this supernormal knowledge can be aroused by a very strong emotion. And from what we've heard so far, Ellen, outwardly composed, must be seething with jealousy because it's evident that her husband loves Kay. Jealousy is a very strong emotion. What it leads to, we will discover when I return shortly with Act Two.
Now, a warm Christmas message from Scrooge.
Flying home for the holidays? Bah, humbug! Greyhound announces 2-penny-pinching travel plans from December 1st through January 2nd. The holiday Ameripass. 2 weeks unlimited travel for only $139. Save $100, $200, even more over regular round-trip air coach traveling with a child. war. Greyhound Santa Claus fare. Saves parents extra on shorter round trips out of state. Charged with bank cards. Each plan allows you to take your child under 12 along free, like this tidy chap. Tim?
Bless you, Greyhound.
And Greyhound will carry your gifts, too. Ship them in time for Christmas for sure from any Greyhound station or from special gift shipping centers in many major city shopping centers. One more time, Nipper.
Bless you, Greyhound.
I'm Fred London for Haight Anderson, your total discount dealer. We're determined to be number one in the Northwest, and we need you to do it. We'll put you into the new car of your choice today. Pontiac, Oldsmobile, or Buick, and whatever it takes to make a deal, we'll do it. Profit is no object. We must move out our inventory of new cars. I urge you to come in today. Take that short money-saving drive to the Mukilteo Ferry Turnoff on I-5 North. Get off at Evergreen and go one block north to Discount Land.
Mornings on Cairo News Radio 7, you'll find out what's going on, whether it's on the other side of the world or right down the street from where you live. Good news and bad news. The weather, the traffic problems pointed out by Chris Curtis at AAA. Ron Henson updates the overnight happenings from police headquarters. Stan Marks looks at the business world. This is Bill Yend. Dave Stone, Bill Whipple, and I invite you to join us from 5:30 till 9:30 weekday mornings and get your day off to a good start while you keep in touch.
The philosopher Descartes wrote, "That God has foreordained everything is self-evident." That means that the course of one's life is like a road from birth to eternity. Sometimes we wish that we could see what's in store for us around the next curve, but we can't. Some of us claim to be able to do so, and there is evidence that events have been foreseen, but clairvoyance is by no means accepted as fact. Telepathy is. Before her fall to death, Ellen Robertshaw had been hospitalized after an automobile accident, and her son, Bruce, came to visit her.
You look good, Mother. Very good. Don't you agree, Dr. Croft?
I do. I'll have her home in a few days.
You're very good, Bruce. No, I mean it. Running up from Philadelphia once a week, twice right after my accident, Molly must wonder if she's got a husband. How is she, by the way, and how's my grandson?
Oh, they're fine.
Was Molly disturbed by my telephone call?
No, of course not. She knows how much you love the baby.
But she is a doubting Thomas, isn't she?
Well, yes.
Bruce, let me ask you something and give it some thought before you reply.
Oh, all right.
I knew that your little boy was ill, seriously ill. How did I know that?
Oh, I don't know, Mother.
But he was ill.
All right. How did you know?
Telepathy. Your thoughts, your worry, were transmitted to me, and in turn, my concern to you. Can you doubt it? Didn't I telephone right from this hospital room and express my concern? I told Dr. Croft how worried I was, didn't I, Max?
Yes, you did.
You see?
Well, even if I see, I don't understand. Neither does Molly.
I often know what a person is thinking, Bruce.
How can you? How does that work?
Max.
Before I try to answer that question, tell me, Bruce, were you aware of your mother's concern about your little boy?
You mean, did her thoughts come into my head? Well, yes, but I couldn't say through telepathy. I know Mother loves her grandson. So naturally, we didn't want to worry her when he became ill. She had enough to worry about, her injuries and the accident and...
Well, you may be right, Bruce. On the other hand, your mother has startled me several times by apparently reading my thoughts. How I feel about her husband, for example.
Well, no one has to be a mind reader to know that, Dr. Croft. I feel the same way about Ken. You're saying that Mother has this telepathic faculty,
Yes. Ideas may be telepathetically transmitted without conscious effort between the agent and the percipient. A percipient is one capable of perceiving. Your mother as agent and you as percipient make contact through your subliminal minds, And that big word needs to be defined. Subliminal means below the level of consciousness.
You're saying that I've got the telepathic faculty?
Well, to some degree, every one of us has it. Most persons are potential agents and percipients. Some more so than others. But I'm talking fact, Bruce. There is such a thing as telepathy.
When is Mother being released from the hospital?
Oh, there's no reason your mother can't leave by Friday, day after tomorrow. You'll be weak for a while, Ellen. Most bed patients are after they're discharged, but except for your arm in a cast, you're in good health.
Mother, do you want me to...
No. Oh, my goodness, I can get home by myself. I mean, Ken will pick me up. Will you see him before you return to Philadelphia?
I don't think so, Mother. I don't want to be rude, but... It's what he's doing to you that makes me angry. You know, of course.
Of course.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't take a mind reader to know he's got big stars in his eyes for that secretary of his. At least you know. Why don't you get rid of him, Mother?
I may.
Why hesitate? Tell him goodbye. And then come visit us. Take a trip. Life begins at...
49, perhaps.
Well, if you'll excuse me, for what it's worth, Ellen, I concur with Bruce. Your husband's a calculating man. Let him have his K, Tyler.
I'll see. Bruce, my love to Molly and the little boy. Tell her not to be too upset.
Upset? Oh, you mean about the facts about telepathy. Right. Well, I'll try. On some subjects, however, Molly's mind is closed.
That's not what I was referring to.
No?
You'll find out when you return to Philadelphia.
What are you talking about, Mother?
I can't say. Or maybe I'd rather not. I could be wrong. A decision can be changed. Maybe it will be. I hope so. But I have my doubts.
What is it, Kay, darling? You're off in space. Is anything the matter?
Everything's the matter, Ken. I'm going to have to break it off.
I see.
I wish you did. I just can't stand being two-faced anymore. If you want me as much as you've said you do, do something about it. Otherwise, let me go.
Leave Ellen, huh?
Look, I'm not trying to break up a marriage, but you say it isn't one, so I'm not really the other woman. If you haven't got a marriage, why don't you end it?
All right. I'll speak to her tonight and pack up and leave.
You've said that before. You call me. I won't call you.
Meaning?
I won't see you anymore, Ken, until I can be seen with you in the light of day. Tomorrow's Friday, my last at the office. There are other secretaries in the company who'll jump at my job. You won't be hung up. But tomorrow's my last day in the romantic shipping business.
All right, we'll see about that. After I've spoken to Ellen, I'll come over to your place. Now, you'll be home, won't you?
I don't know. I'd like to believe you, but...
I'll be by. Now, stop acting like a silly schoolgirl and... Come on, eat your lunch.
Oh, Ken.
Hello? Is that you, Dr. Croft?
Yes, Bruce.
I'm telephoning from Philadelphia. Is my mother all right?
Why, yes. She's been home over a week now. I'd say she's completely recovered.
Oh, you're no longer calling on her?
Why, no. What is it, Bruce?
I've had a feeling all day long that something's wrong.
I see.
It may seem foolish, but...
Not at all. It's, let me see, 2:00. I'll pay her a visit within the hour and report back to you.
Oh, I'd appreciate that, Dr.
Not at all.
I've tried to reach Mother by telephone, and there's no answer.
That's odd. What about the maid?
I don't know. Earlier in the day, Mother spoke to my wife and told Molly, don't be upset.
That's strange.
Yes, I thought so. I have no idea what she meant by it. Don't be upset. That's all she said. She wouldn't explain it to Molly. Of course, I am upset.
Well, I understand. Let me stop by and pay her a visit, Bruce. I'll telephone you from her place. Ellen, you're white as chalk. Take my arm, my dear.
I heard your voice, and I managed to struggle to the door. I'm all right now.
You sit down. Here, let me take your pulse.
I don't know what came over me.
And I do. Your pulse is very rapid. What's frightened you, Ellen?
I really can't see.
Now lie back on the couch and try to relax. Now, what is it? Something's upset you. Tell me.
There's nothing you can do about it. There's nothing I can do about it, Max. But it's all right.
Well, I take it you're alone here.
Yes. I gave the maid the afternoon off. She's gone down to Richmond. Her sister had a baby, and they're going home from the hospital tomorrow.
Have you been awake most of the afternoon?
Why?
Well, Bruce telephoned you here, but he got no answer.
Oh. Oh, dear. Now I've upset both Molly and him. How thoughtless of me.
Why did you tell Molly not to be upset? About what?
Well, foolishness.
Why didn't you answer the telephone, Ellen?
I tried, but I'm still pretty weak. I didn't reach the phone in time.
Is that the truth?
Well, of course.
Well, you should be strong again, Ellen. I don't quite believe there's anything physically wrong with you. Mentally, well, that's another matter.
There's nothing wrong with my mind.
I'm not saying there is. But the mind, yours especially, can play funny tricks. Fear can affect the body in strange ways. I suspect that fear made it hard for you to move to the telephone when it rang. Now, tell me the truth, Ellen. Isn't that what happened?
Yes. I just couldn't move. Then I heard your voice through the door, and my fear vanished.
All right. Now, tell me what you're afraid of. I'm your doctor. I'm also your old friend.
Bruce knows.
I see. Telepathy?
He's afraid for me, and I'm afraid for myself.
You're afraid of what?
Ken is despondent, Max. And he may do something he'll regret.
Well, has he threatened you?
No. But he wants to be free.
Well, give him his freedom. He isn't worth the powder.
That's what I intend to do. If I'm in time.
Another riddle. What do you mean by that?
I should have proposed a divorce sooner. Now it may be too late.
Ellen?
Yes, Ken. I'm on the terrace. Busy day?
Hmm? Oh, just the usual. Where's the maid?
Richmond. She'll be gone for the weekend. Her sister's had a baby.
How are you feeling?
Better. At least I was when Dr. Croft left me.
Oh, why was he here?
Bruce asked him to stop in and see me.
Oh?
Bruce was worried about me.
Why should Bruce be worried about you? What have you got to be worried about?
You know, Ken.
I do? Well, then you know more than I do. Oh, ho, 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 I get it. Mind reading. All right. Tell me what I know. Hmm?
You won't give up Kay Tyler, but she's given you up.
You don't have to be telepathic to know that. What are you going to do about it?
I'm prepared to divorce you. But I don't like what you're thinking, Ken. You're a blunt, shallow man. But I never thought you were evil. And it wouldn't do you any good. Or is your mind made up?
What about money?
What about it?
You're a rich woman. I like the way we live.
I have a will.
What does it provide for me? Ordinarily, the husband...
My estate is in trust. In the event of my death, there would be some money for you. But my first husband made certain that Bruce and his children would receive the bulk of it. Death is one thing. Divorce is another.
So you'll give me my freedom and nothing else, huh?
Wouldn't anything else be in bad taste?
Well, maybe we should just keep on as we are.
It wouldn't be any more unpleasant than it has been for years, Ken, but aren't you overlooking the other woman? She doesn't like that label, does she?
She doesn't think of herself that way.
Oh? It's been going on for 2 years. It won't go on much longer. Kay Tyler is attractive and intelligent, but she's a fool. You've used her.
I love her.
Then marry her. I'll start divorce proceedings tomorrow. Ken?
You do that, Ellen.
All right. And then I want to see my grandson once more. And Ken!
We have heard, of course, that Ellen Robertshaw died from an accidental fall from her 8th-floor terrace. She was so distraught from her unpleasant conversation with her husband that while watering the flowers suspended in window boxes from the terrace railing, she leaned forward and fell. That seemed straightforward enough, but we know better. At least we might suspect that her fall was not accidental. I shall return in a few minutes with Act 3.
Just in time for Christmas, True Value Hardware Stores offer an expensive-looking watch at an inexpensive price. Hi, Pat Summerall to tell you about the Time Band Ladies Watch from Fairchild, the first low-priced digital watch that doesn't look inexpensive. It's stylishly slim, elegantly contoured, and has a dependable five-function performance of expensive electronic digitals. It shows hours, minutes, month, day, and seconds on command. Has a quartz crystal that makes it capable of accuracy to within 1 minute a year. A calendar that automatically adjusts to the proper number of days in each month, so you only have to adjust it on leap year. And the Time Band Ladies Watch from your True Value Hardware store is entirely solid state, so there are no moving parts to wear out, oil, or maintain. Get the expensive-looking Fairchild Time Band Ladies Watch for as low as $29.95 at participating True Value Hardware stores. Remember True Value, more than just a name, their way of doing business.
There's a special feeling, an old-fashioned, unhurried feeling about shopping for Christmas in Issaquah.
Step into the haberdasher, and you're surrounded by two floors of fine men's clothing. It's a comfortable store, a warm setting of brick and antique accents of sweaters by Lord Jeff, sports shirts and coats from Pendleton, leisure suits by Days Sportswear. Upstairs, you'll find fashion jeans with fit by Hang Ten, Lee, Levi, Mail, and Liberty. The Haberdasher Men's Shop, right downtown on Front Street.
My Fair Lady is dresses in misses and junior sizes, both daytime and long party and hostess dresses, scarves, jewelry, and accessories. My Fair Lady can help you solve your gift problems. The owners do all the buying for the store, and they're right there with suggestions and ideas if you need them. Free gift wrapping, too. My Fair Lady, open till 8 on weekdays, till 5:30 on Saturday, and 11 till 5 on Sunday. Nestled in the hills, Issaquah is a peaceful, unhurried place with that old-fashioned feeling of Christmas.
These days, a great number of married men and women seem to fall in and out of love more easily than they did 20, even 10 years ago, when, if I may say so, the vows pledged were taken more seriously. Because they were, quarrels were resolved and marriages held together. Even a quarrel over the other woman. Ellen and Ken Robertshaw, she especially, tried but failed to resolve his, preoccupation with Kay Tyler. Ellen offered him a divorce, but a dreadful accident intervened.
John, what's happened?
Oh, Mr. Robertshaw, he's awful, just awful.
What happened?
Mrs. Robertshaw, a policeman phoned for ambulance, but then he keep the crowd away. It's your wife.
My wife?
She fall. I can't describe it, Mr. Robertshaw. I still feel sick. There was this awful sound, and I'm terrible sorry.
My wife fell from the 8th floor?
The son, he got here just when it happened. He's in the lobby.
Oh, I'd better see him.
You do that. I'm sorry, Mr. Robertshaw.
Rose?
Hello. I arrived too late, just when it happened.
I'm sorry for both of us. I hope you believe that, Bruce.
I don't. Where you come from?
From work. John, the doorman, told me what happened.
What did happen?
Well, you know as well as I do. Ellen fell to her death.
Can you prove you just got here?
What? Hey, wait a minute. What are you implying?
You better have a perfect alibi, Ken. And I mean perfect.
Spell that out.
My mother didn't fall from the terrace. Is that clear enough?
If you know that for a fact...
I don't know it for a fact, but I know it.
How? Tell me how. I'd really like to know.
I've known since lunchtime that my mother was in danger.
I don't like what you're saying, Bruce. You're a lawyer, so, you know, be careful.
You won't get away with it.
You've lost me. Get away with what? Your mother fell to her death. She was still weak. She was probably watering the flowers and leaned too far over. Vertigo, and over she went.
Dr. Croft saw her this afternoon. She could hardly walk to the door to let him in.
That proves my point. But why I have to prove anything to you, I don't know.
I think you threw her over the terrace railing.
I'll remember that, Bruce. For an adult and a lawyer, you're a fool. Your mother died an accidental death. That'll be the verdict. Try to change it to... Well, to what? Murder? Because that's what you want to believe, isn't it? Oh, you're absurd. I arrived here even after you did, and you're implying that I murdered your mother? You'll excuse me. I have to get to the hospital. I don't expect to ever see you again. Bruce. What's happened? You look dazed. Come, sit down.
My mother is dead, Dr. Cross.
Good heavens.
She fell to her death.
Oh, my boy, I'm shattered. What awful news. I don't know what to say.
She didn't fall to her death, Doctor. I think she was murdered.
That's a very serious charge, Bruce.
I know it. And I can't prove what I'm saying, but I'm sure of what happened. She seemed all right when you paid a call on her this afternoon.
I found her frightened. I managed to calm her down. I prescribed a relaxant. I thought I calmed you down too, Bruce, but here you are. Why?
My mother was in my thoughts all morning long. I was afraid for her. She was trying to tell me something. This. What's happened? I left the office and I boarded a train for New York. I got to Mother's building just as it happened. Then I've just come from the hospital.
What a dreadful experience. You knew your mother was in danger?
Telepathy. It must be.
You suspect Robert Shaw, of course?
Oh, who else? I don't know how he managed it. He says he arrived in front of the building after I did. If he can prove that, he's in the clear.
Well, of course, it is possible that your mother did fall over the railing. I don't see how we'll ever know what did happen.
What do I do?
I don't know.
You believe me, don't you, Doctor?
Well, certainly. But my opinion doesn't count. I'm trying to remember what your mother and I said to each other when I called on her. And let me see. As I recall, she asked you to tell Molly that you were not to be upset.
Yeah, that's right. Well, what could she have meant by that?
I'm darned if I know. She was afraid for herself. That much I do know. Oh, and she added that Robert Shaw was despondent and might do something he'd regret. I urged her to give Robert Shaw a divorce, and she said she wouldn't.
Well, then why would he kill her? I mean, that's what he wanted, wasn't it?
Hmm. Well, that doesn't advance us, does it?
You said you prescribed a relaxant for her?
Yes, she was unnerved.
And she didn't answer my telephone call because she had trouble getting to the phone. Is that right, Doc?
Well, that's what she told me.
Yeah, and it took her a long time to admit you to her flat.
Oh, when she knew I was the caller, she lost some of her fear and was able to open the door, yes. It took a while, and she wasn't too steady on her feet.
And when you left her?
Well, she walked me to the door.
So, first she wasn't able to walk very well, and then she was, huh?
Well, fright can do that to a person, Bruce. It can immobilize you. Oh, by all that's holy, I've got it. I have indeed. You're right. It was murder.
Hey, what's come over you?
Where's Robert Shaw now, do you know?
I have no idea. He left the hospital before I did. I've got a guess, though. I'll bet he went to visit Kay Tyler to tell her the news.
Yeah, good boy. Look up her address. We're going to pay her a visit.
Who are you calling?
The police. I want them present to make the arrest.
Ken, I think you'd better go now. This isn't nice.
I guess not. I told you at lunch I'd stop by after talking with Ellen.
But you never got the chance.
No. Fate intervened. Ellen knew I was going to divorce her.
Or the other way around.
That's what she said.
Oh? You did talk to her?
A few days ago. Yeah, we talked it over.
Why didn't you tell me at lunch?
Because the details weren't finalized. Now they don't matter.
Did you see her tonight before she fell?
Well, how could I? I'd just gotten home and there was the ambulance taking her away.
Now who?
Were you expecting anybody?
No. I hardly know anyone. Yes?
Are you Kay Tyler?
Yes.
What are you doing here? And Dr. Croft?
Robert Shaw. Bruce and I have to talk with you. Miss Tyler, I'm Dr. Croft, and this is Mrs. Robert Shaw's son, Bruce Ellis. May we come in?
What do you two want?
Don't be rude, Ken. Come in, Doctor. Mr. Ellis. What brings you here?
We suspected that Robert Shaw might be here, Miss Tyler.
Oh, well, sit down. This is very strange.
It's more than that, Miss Tyler.
All right, what is it? Say what you have to say and get out.
You murdered my mother, Robert Shaw.
Oh, no.
Now, you're
no.
a fool, and this is slander. I warned you before.
This is not an idle accusation. I can prove what Bruce has just said.
Oh, you're both fools. Ellen died an accidental death. That's the police verdict. She fell from the terrace.
Now, she couldn't have fallen.
But Kent, Mr. Robert Shaw arrived on the scene after the accident. He learned about it from the doorman.
Yes, so he says, but that's not the truth. Shall I reconstruct what happened? He came home early, slipped into the apartment, threw my mother from the terrace, returned to the lobby, and lost himself in the crowd. Then he approached the doorman and asked what had happened.
That's a lot of slipping in and slipping out and mingling, Bruce.
It doesn't sound plausible to me.
It's fantasy. These two dislike me.
How can you accuse Ken without proof?
Ellen Robert Shaw could not have fallen to her death because she couldn't walk.
What are you saying, you crazy old fool?
Old, yes, a fool, no. I repeat, Mrs. Robert Shaw could not walk. When I paid her a visit this afternoon, she had great difficulty reaching the door to let me in. Fear had somehow immobilized her. The cause of her fear was you. She told me as much. You came home early, as Bruce has said, and you talked to her. Remember, Ellen was telepathic. She knew that you were thinking of murder.
What's that got to do with her ability to walk?
Her fear of you in your presence caused hysterical paralysis.
How do you know?
My conclusion is altogether medical.
What is hysterical paralysis?
The psychic inhibition of motor function, meaning that hysteria temporarily paralyzed her, making it impossible for her to walk. There was evidence of it when I paid a call on her. And that's because she was afraid of Robert Shaw. She said as much. In his presence, her fears would mount. They immobilized her, and she was practically inert when he threw her from the terrace.
Ken, is this true?
It will take some proving.
The proof is that my mother could not have fallen accidentally. She couldn't move. Explain that away if you can. The police will question the doorman and everyone else who was in here or near the apartment when you came home from work earlier than you would have us believe.
If she didn't fall accidentally, maybe she...
No, not my mother. She didn't take her life. Why would she? Mother told Dr. Croft she was divorcing you. You murdered her, Robert Shaw, and Dr. Croft can prove it.
The police. You're a vile man, Robert Shaw. I hope you spend the rest of your life behind bars.
Most murders are solved, when they are solved, by painstaking work which goes over every detail which contributed to motive and opportunity. But the apprehending of Ken Robertshaw depended, strangely enough, on a woman's supernormal faculty of telepathy. And that is what, in the end, was his undoing. I'll return shortly.
The 1977 Buick Regal. It comes with Buick's terrific V6 engine. It carries six people and lots of Buick comfort. It's lean, it's maneuverable in city traffic. It's the most luxurious mid-sized car Buick builds. Yeah, this new Regal is pretty much everything a car should be, except for one thing. It isn't yours yet, but it can be. Just see your Buick dealer for a test drive, soon.
How does your laxative work? Many brand name laxatives contain ingredients that expand in your stomach. That's how they work. We know a medicine that works differently. It's in the X-Lax pill. Overnight, the X-Lax pill gently stimulates your system's own regular rhythm. Stimulates your system for relief in the morning. No surprises, just relief in the morning. That's the X-Lax pill. Try it tonight with confidence. For occasional use only as directed, X-Lax pills.
Greedy folks have long arms. That's an old Scottish proverb, and it's appropriate. Robertshaw was a hypocritical opportunist. He never loved his wife. He may have loved Kay Tyler, but I'm pleased that she escaped from him. Why didn't he take the divorce and let the money go? Not Robertshaw. When greed and love, or call it by its proper name, infatuation, combine in one person, he's a threat to normal persons. Our cast included Francis Sternhagen, Tony Roberts, Ralph Bell, Guy Sorrell, and Catherine Butterfield. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. And now, a preview of our next tale.
Henrietta, get the door, will you please? Oh, damn, that's right. I gave you the time off. Just a minute. Yes?
Good morning. I'm Detective Lieutenant Berger, homicide.
Oh?
My credentials.
I see.
May I come in? Thank you.
May I ask the purpose of this visit, Lieutenant?
I must ask you to come to police headquarters.
Police headquarters? Why? What for?
There's been a murder.
How does that concern me?
Well, at the very least, you're a material witness.
That's impossible.
You might even be an accessory.
That's ridiculous.
I'm required to tell you that anything you say may be used against you.
Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by Buick Motor Division and Contact, the 12-hour cold capsule. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
Everyone's got a relative like Cousin Ann. She knows everyone in town, cooks chicken like a dream, and she's got a heart as big as the Columbia. She's special. And even though I don't see her more than twice a year, I always remember her during the holidays with a big box of Rogers chocolates. That's because Ann and I grew up with Rogers. So for us, each box is full of more than good chocolate. It's full of special times and happy memories. Special, just like Ann.
Make someone happy.
Make someone happy this holiday season. Give Rogers fine chocolates in our new gift box.
Make someone happy. Give someone you love the sweetest gift. Rogers chocolates.
Rogers candies made fresh in Seattle are available in Tacoma at Ashmore's Spanaway Drugs, Bayview Drug, Chapman's Drug, and Edgewood Pharmacy.
KIRO, Seattle, the news authority.
11 p.m.
CBS News, swine flu shots suspended temporarily because of paralysis scare. I'm Rita Sands reporting on the CBS Radio Network. Assistant Secretary for Health in the Department of HEW, Dr. Theodore Cooper, says the government suspension of the swine flu immunization program could be termed premature or alarmist, but that he believes it to be the most prudent course to take at this time. The flu shots have been halted for at least 2 weeks because of concern over a possible connection to a disease which causes temporary paralysis. Over 90 cases have been reported in 14 states recently. More than 50 had received the swine flu shot, with 4 deaths among that group. Federal health officials have launched an intensive investigation. Canadian health officials are recommending suspension of their swine flu shots, but are planning to stay with inoculations against the A. Victoria strain. Judy Morrison reports from Ottawa.
Canada's Health Minister, Marc Lalonde, has recommended a suspension of the swine flu vaccination program for the general population. He made this decision following reports from the Center for Disease Control in Atlanta. An increasing incidence of a neurological disease has occurred in some Americans inoculated with the swine flu vaccine. The disease is known as the Guillain-Barré syndrome and is characterized by a temporary paralysis which can be deadly if it reaches the respiratory system. The minister has called for a suspension of the general swine flu vaccine program until the 1st of January. By then, he expects to have conclusive evidence from the United States as to the risks involved. Only 2 provinces have suspended the massive inoculation so far, British Columbia and Ontario. The minister added that the risk for Canadians may not exist since the Canadian vaccine comes from a different manufacturer than that relied upon by the United States. He notes not one case of the Guillain-Barré syndrome has shown up in the country so far. Judy Morrison for CBS News in Ottawa.
More news in a moment.
Now, a warm Christmas message from Scrooge.
Flying home for the holidays? Bah, humbug. Greyhound announces 2 penny-pinching travel plans from December 1st through January 2nd. The Holiday Ameripass. 2 weeks unlimited travel for only $139. Save $100, $200, even more over regular round-trip air coach traveling with a child. Or Greyhound Santa Claus fare. Saves parents extra on shorter round trips out of state. Charge with bank cards. Each plan allows you to take your child under 12 along free, like this tidy chap. Tim?
Bless you, Greyhound.
And Greyhound will carry your gifts, too. Ship them in time for Christmas for sure from any Greyhound station or from special gift shipping centers in many major city shopping centers. One more time, Nipper.
Bless you, Greyhound.
The national Christmas tree is lit. President Ford turned the appropriate switch Thursday night, and 2,500 bulbs began to glow. President expressed a wish for a world with peace and brotherhood. Inside the White House, there was another kind of glow, an electrical fire in the basement near the executive bowling alley. Washington's deputy fire chief, Harry Gates, says it was put out quickly.
What we had was a battery charger, which is located in a transformer vault room in the White House, and apparently a short or something caused it to ignite, and the decomposition of the materials inside, the polyvinyl chloride wiring, etc., caused hydrochloric acid fumes to be created throughout the basement area of the White House.
One member of the Executive Protection Service was hospitalized for smoke inhalation. Commerce Secretary Elliot Richardson estimates the new price increases wanted by the OPEC countries will mean at least $2 billion out of the pocket of American consumers next year, with much of the price boost showing up in gasoline and heating fuel. Richardson estimates an increase of 1 to 2 cents a gallon, but pinning down the exact cost is difficult because it was a split decision by OPEC. 11 member nations are demanding a 10% oil price hike, with Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates opting for only 5%. And now this message.
If you enjoy wine with your meals, here's something you should know about wine before meals.
Before, that's the time to say I'll have a glass of Duvernay. Before a meal, by day or night, Duvernay is always right. Before, yeah, before. It's the time before for Duvernay.
Most wines go with your meals, but Dubonnet goes before. Think of it as an appetizer, a wine that's right for your appetite. Before lunch, before dinner at cocktail time, before whatever you've got cooking. The distinctive taste of Dubonnet before makes what comes after that much better. Dubonnet. It all started in France, of course. Product of USA, Dubonnet Company, New York, New York.
Reflecting back on the time she spent underground with the Symbionese Liberation Army, Patricia Hearst says she felt she had nowhere to go, that even her family didn't want her back. But in an exclusive interview with CBS News, Hearst said her thinking was twisted, that she loves her family and describes them as fantastic. In her first interview since her release on bail, Hearst said of her SLA kidnappers, they got exactly what they deserved when they were killed in a shootout with Los Angeles police. I'm Rita Sands, CBS News.
Current News Time, 11:06.